Now turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. As you well know, the longest psalm in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. I was reading again just the other day. I'd forgotten about this story. A pastor who turned out not to be very sound later in his life was in London, and he was just a guest in a service. And so the pastor asked him if he would read a chapter from God's Word and lead in prayer. And he read Psalm 119 and prayed, and it took 45 minutes to do those two things, because there are 176 verses in this chapter. But anyway, that's just chasing a rabbit, an interesting story about that. I want to preach tonight on the subject, seeking God, keeping His commandments. And my text is verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. A few weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I preached the message from verse 9. Of this chapter. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, by taking heed according to your word. Tonight we're going to look at the verse that follows. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 9 contains a question that is followed by an answer. The question indicates a problem we all wrestle with, and that is purity. And the answer states the solution. The psalmist says that a young believer, and he does address it to the young person, to the young man, a young believer can keep his life, can keep her life pure by living according to Scripture. The Bible is our chart for holiness. We are therefore to direct our lives according to the Word of God. Verse 10 doesn't have a question and an answer, but instead contains a declaration and an application. A declaration of commitment and an application for help. The psalmist declares his commitment when he says, with my whole heart I seek you. And he applies for help from the Most High God when he says, let me not wander from your commandments. So let's look at these two things. The first half of this text is a declaration of commitment. The psalmist here commits himself to seeking the Lord with his whole heart. We have a statement of resolve. With my whole heart, I seek you. Some translations put that in the past tense. I have sought you. Some the present tense. It kind of mixes the two. It's both. He had been seeking the Lord, and he was continuing to seek the Lord. What an excellent goal it is to seek God, and to seek Him with the whole heart. Is there a better pursuit in all of life than the pursuit of God? There's nothing better than seeking to know God intimately. The psalmist will speak of keeping God's commandments in the second half of this verse, but his desire first and foremost was to seek God. Now, he didn't think seeking God made him better than others. This is no presumptuous boasting on his part. We know that from what follows in the second half of the verse, because he's asking God, he's praying, don't let me wander from your commandments. So he has this deep sense of his own weakness. He acknowledges his infirmities. So there's no boasting here on his part, and there's no pleading of merit as if he deserved anything from God, like the Pharisee who thought he did. Luke chapter 18, when he presented God with all his good works, when he prayed and said he was thankful that he wasn't like this tax collector. Many Christians get sidetracked by putting other things, even good things, excellent things, before what should be primary. And what should be primary is seeking God, obeying the Lord. It's like the gifts of the Spirit. Have you ever noticed that there are a lot of people who are more concerned about the gifts of the Spirit than they are with the giver? People who just focus on the gifts of the spirits, and that's what many charismatics, of course, do. They want the gifts, but they don't seem to be interested in knowing the giver of those gifts. But much better to put our attention on the Holy Spirit and then concern ourselves with spiritual gifts. Well, obedience is very important. But dear friends, communion with God will lead to obedience. So don't try to be obedient without seeking God and knowing God. The order is first love God, and then you'll love His commandments. You'll desire to keep them. So first acquaint yourself with God Himself, and then focus on what He would have you do. The expression in our text here about seeking God is also found in verse 2. Blessed are those who, and here it's reversed, keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. So a blessing is added to that. God's favor rests upon those who seek Him. It's the duty of all of God's children to seek the Lord. The great Puritan Thomas Manton said, God's children are a generation of seekers. They find hereafter, but now they seek. Their great business is to be seeking after God, more ample and full communion with Him. So we are bid to follow this example, to be like the psalmist and to seek after God. Now please don't make the mistake that many do, who seek religion, who seek to be religious, but don't seek the Lord. And many who seek religion, who want to be better, do that under the guise of promoting themselves. But it's important to seek the Lord and not seek other things first. David made this prayer in Psalm 86. He said, give me an undivided heart. An undivided heart is one that has its priorities straight. And God is first and foremost. Oh, dear friends, I know by experience that it's easy to confuse seeking the Lord with seeking our own honor and applause. Self can intrude so quickly into our religious lives, and we become self-righteous rather than concerned with the righteousness of God. But true believers, those who are right with the Lord, seek God for His glory, not their own. True religion is marked by a desire to seek God's faith. That's a mark of genuine faith, to seek the Lord. You seek His presence. You want to worship Him. And in doing so, you give Him all the glory and honor. Self is nothing. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. There are many people in our world today who pretend that they're seeking after God. They may even have fooled themselves, but they're not seeking God. They're following their own course, what they think ought to be right. There's an incident in the Gospel of John chapter 6 where people weren't seeking the Lord. They liked the miracles Jesus performed. Man, he fed these 5,000 people. That's the person we want to follow. Maybe we'll get more free food. And they weren't seeking him because of who he was. And so there was all this outward diligence. They were following Jesus, but there was false pretense lurking underneath the surface, were these carnal desires for what Jesus could give them and not what they could do in giving glory and praise to him. Now, I hope and pray that your heart is inclined to seek after the Lord. If it is, be thankful. And don't get a big head because you're trying to seek after the Lord and other people are not. Don't think you're wiser and better than others because you're seeking the Lord, and start shining the lapel on your coat and say, look at me. Thank God that he has given you a desire to seek him above all things. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter after he confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? These words are recorded in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." He's the one that's revealed this to you. How did Peter arise at the truth? How did he come about making that confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? It wasn't by innate human ability. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. He wasn't more clever and wiser than other people. He didn't have superior ability. Not at all. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're foolishness to him. And he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so God did something in his heart. It wasn't by innate human reasoning. And Jesus went on to say that it's due to divine enablement. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. God opened your eyes that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. A great truth is underscored there that we must never lose. We can't see unless God opens our eyes. That's how sinful we are. That's how depraved our hearts are. A revelation is necessary. God must quicken the mind and the heart with his own word. Now, God's revelation to us does not work in exclusion to means. God uses means. But remember, when Jesus said these words to Peter, he had heard Jesus preach often. He had seen Jesus work miracles. But those things alone are not sufficient. God must command light to shine out of darkness. He must shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We sometimes sing a hymn that has this illuminating stanza. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. Now that hymn points us to a great paradox. And the paradox is this. We would not love God if he didn't first love us. We would never seek God if he did not first seek us. But love him and seek him we must. And thankfully, God doesn't play hide and seek. he will be found. Seek the Lord, Isaiah said, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So what an amazing declaration. This man was seeking the Lord. And he was seeking the Lord with his whole heart. That means he sought the Lord fully, wholly. Wasn't half-hearted seeking. Seeking the Lord was an exercise that called him to total commitment. And so it does to us. When I was a boy, men didn't put hairspray in their hair. They do now. I can remember the first time I ever used hairspray, and I felt awful in doing it. I felt like I was feminine or something. Men aren't supposed to do this. The product we used was Brill Cream. How many of you ever put Brill Cream in your hair? All right, the older guys. It comes out of a tube. It's greasy. By the way, you can still buy it. It's still available. I think Fonzie on Happy Days used a lot of Brill Cream. It had that oily, greasy look. And that's what we used. And they had a commercial. They used to say, just a little dab will do you. That's the way a lot of people are with their desire to serve God. I don't want to go out too far in this thing. Just a little dab will do me. That's not how the psalmist sought the Lord. Five times in this psalm, verse 2, 10, 34, 69, and 145 speaks of seeking God with the whole heart. An undivided heart, fully committed to the Lord. And that's how we ought to pray. God, keep us from half-hearted commitment. Help us to seek you with the whole heart. Seeking God with the whole heart's what C.H. Spurgeon called a right royal search and pursuit. And dear friends, that ought to be so because it is to be followed with the whole heart. There's another hymn that says, seek him first. Then, when forgiven, pardoned, made an heir of heaven, let your life to him be given. Seek him first. Oh, for a heart to seek the Lord wholly, fully. A heart that desires fellowship with the God who made us. The God who sent His Son to save us. Now, one of the best ways I know of for us to seek God with our whole heart, in part, is to have a daily quiet time. I've heard people ridicule these Christians who thought they needed to have a daily quiet time. That's legalism. You're just following a rule, making yourself feel better. But dear friends, that's not true. We need to regularly meet with God by reading His Word and praying. And a quiet time. And a quiet time is just that. It's you getting alone with God without your smartphone. Without the television on. Without all these distractions and just you and God reading the Word and praying and seeking His face. Drawing near to God. That you might grow in fellowship with Him. And that's the deep longing that I want to have with reference to God. Is that true of you? Reading the Scripture helps us to gaze on the beauty of God, and it spurs us to seek Him even more. One of the best books you could ever read, and I've commended it to you several times, comes from Jerry Bridges, The Pursuit of Godliness. He says this, one of the wonderful things about God is that He is infinite in all His glorious attributes. So never in our desire for him will we exhaust the revelation of his person to us. The more we come to know him, the more we will desire him. And the more we desire him, the more we will want to fellowship with him and experience his presence. And the more we desire him and his fellowship, the more we will desire to be like him. So let us cultivate this, that we might have a deeper longing to know God, to be in sweet communion and fellowship with God. Isaiah expressed this longing when he said, chapter 26, verse 9, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you." At night, in the morning, seeking God, searching God, longing for God. Paul, Philippians 3:10, "that I may know him." That means that I may know him more intimately. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship or sharing in his suffering. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. "With my whole heart, I seek you." Can you say that? Can you honestly lift up your eyes to heaven and say, "Oh God, with my whole heart, I seek you"? What are you seeking? Is it trivial pursuit? The things that don't matter, that don't count? As we used to say, "My growing up don't amount to a hill of beans." Are you pursuing God? That should be our chief aim and goal, to be a seeker after God. But an application for help follows this declaration of commitment. After stating, "With my whole heart I seek you," he cried out to God, "Let me not wander from your commandments." The Hebrew word isn't present there, but there's an interjection here. In some English translations, a conjunction, "Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." And so the second half of this verse is a prayer. He asks God for help. He doesn't want to stray from keeping God's commandments. So he prays for divine aid. He knows that he cannot keep from going astray in his own strength. He's too weak for that. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You see, we're prone to follow temptation. We're prone to go down that evil path. And so it's good to pray, "Lord, lead me not into temptation." And it's good to pray, "Lord, whatever it takes, don't let me wander from your commandments. Chasten me. Afflict me. Do whatever, Lord. My prayer is, don't let me wander from your commandments." We cannot stand firm without God's aid and help. It is God alone that can keep us from wandering. And the psalmist knew this. He knew he couldn't be obedient without the Lord's help. And that's why he cries out, "Oh, let me not wander from your commandment." Calvin makes a very good comment here on this verse. He says, "There are so many vices and imperfections in our nature, and we are so feeble and weak that we have very great need daily to pray unto him, yea, and that more and more, that he will not permit us to decline from his commandments." Friends, it's a good prayer to say every day, because as soon as you walk out the door, you are inclined not to keep his commandments for all kind of reasons. The pressure of the world, the devil tempting you, your own flesh. Oh, how we need to pray this prayer. So, seeking the Lord and keeping God's commandments, two things that go together. Whoever seeks the Lord, whoever longs for communion and fellowship with the Lord, will also want to do those things that please the Lord. Where fellowship is the brightest, obedience is the greatest. But we need God's strength to keep God's commands. Those who seek God with their whole heart desire to keep His commandments. And obeying the Lord is the test. Whether we fear the Lord, whether we love the Lord, whether we desire the Lord. We can know truly if we fear God, love God, desire God, by determining if there's a genuine hatred in our heart for sin and this overwhelming longing to obey Him and do what He says. So the measure of our obedience is the test of our devotion. Now, I've called a lot of people on the carpet before in my day who said, "Oh, I love God. I love God so very much." But they don't do anything God says to do. But you start questioning whether they love God or not, and they get mad at you. But what's the proof whether we love God or not? We obey His commandments. What's the proof that we fear God? We seek to do His will. How do you know if you really desire God and not your own promotion? It's whether you are pleased to do what He says to do. So do you fear the Lord? Do you have reverence and awe before God? That's what it means. Do you love the Lord? Do you desire the Lord? Then keep His commandments. To those who fear Him, to those who love Him, to those who desire Him, His commandments, and Bob read this from 1 John 5, His commandments are not burdensome. That is, they're not heavy. They're not oppressive. They're not demands that come to us from a cruel tyrant. They're laws of a loving God. And God's commands are for our good. And obedience to them brings glory to His name. Now, that doesn't mean obeying God's commandments easy. We often struggle to keep His commandments. Why? Because of the flesh. Because of the world, because of Satan who walks about in this world like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So keeping the commandments of God is not easy, but we have a new heart. And the new hearts means we have new desires. And the longing of the renewed heart is to please the one who saved him. So the person that's been set free from the penalty and power of sin will say, as David does later in this very psalm, "Oh, how I love your law." That's the cry of a redeemed person. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" There are a lot of folk, I'm afraid, these days that love the promises. What's God going to do for me? What's God going to keep? But do they love His commandments? Do you love His commandments? Can you say with Him, "I love your law. I love your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, your rules. I love them because it's your law. And I love you. And I want to do the things that please you." It is the Lord's commandments that we're to keep, isn't it? That is what our text says, "With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments." Not the commandments of men. The Pharisees committed themselves and others to traditions and commandments of men And they were burdensome. Jesus rebuked them for it, Matthew chapter 23. He said the Pharisees bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them upon men's shoulders. That's what rules are that aren't God's rules. That's what the traditions of man is. That's legalism. And there's no pleasure in joy in just having a bunch of rules that you're going to try to keep. Remember this. Jesus said of himself, Matthew chapter 11, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, his commandments are not cruel. They're not restrictive. The old Puritan John Flavel said, Christ's yoke is lined with love, so it never galls the necks of his people. J.C. Ryle said, his yoke is no more a burden than the feathers are to a bird. So the key is knowing Christ. He changes the heart. And when we know him and we begin to seek him, his commandments are not a burden. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what I want to do. I want to please you. And whatever you tell me, with your aid, with your help, I will do it. So God, don't let me wander from your commandments. Obeying the Lord is what born again people do. Because they know the Lord. And they love the Lord and they desire fellowship with him. Joel Beakey says, God's commands are not weights that drag us down. They are wings that help us fly. If keeping God's commands ever becomes a burden to you, it's an indication that you're backslidden. You're starting to love sin more than you do God, and you don't like doing the things God says to do. If the desire to do what displeases Christ is greater than the desire to please him, then that means we've lost our first love. And oh, how we need to recognize that and repent of it. What's the solution to your anger? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it quickly. And when you come to recognize something like this, deal with it quickly. Because he sought the Lord with all his heart, the psalmist didn't want to wander from God's commandments. He knew what a sinful heart was capable of. I think he knew the sentiments of a hymn that we're going to sing here shortly. Written by a man by the name of Robert Robinson. I preached the 300th anniversary of the church where he was baptized. He wrote, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Oh, I know the sentiments of that hymn well. I am prone to wander, and so are you. We are prone to leave the God we love. We are all prone to go astray. And that's why we must pray for divine aid. Now, any negative statement that you find in the Bible has a positive side to it. Did you know 8 of the 10 commandments are stated negatively? You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. Well, you can turn every one of those knots around and put it in a positive frame. And the Scriptures does that throughout the Bible. If we turn this, let me not wander from your commandments around, what would it be? Let me follow and keep your commandments. So let us follow the Lord by keeping his commandments, not the traditions of men, but the commandments of God. In the Old Testament reading of Scripture tonight, we saw where Isaiah recorded a time when Israel sought help from Egypt. They wanted their help against the encroaching Assyrians. But God said of them, "Ah, stubborn children, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not of my spirit." And then he said, "And in doing that, they add sin to sin." And then in the next chapter, chapter 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." Dear friends, we have a blueprint to follow. It's right here in God's Word. Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments, what you say, what you want me to do. I don't need to go to Egypt for my aid. I don't need to go to the world. When I do that, I'm turning away from you. We look to God. It is his plan that we are to live by. Spurgeon said, "If we leave the ways of God's appointment, we certainly shall not find the God who appointed them." That's worth reading again, isn't it? If we leave the way of God's appointment, we certainly shall not find the God who appointed them. So let us be wholehearted seekers of the Lord. And if we do that, we'll never have time nor desire to wander away from his commandments. So seek the Lord with all your heart. And just cast yourself upon him and say, "Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments." Communion with God gives us a heart that hungers for holiness. Thank you, dear Father, for your precious word. Just a simple statement of commitment, a simple application for help. And may what the psalmist prayed here be our prayer. May we be able to say, "With my whole heart I seek you." And oh, let us cry out from the depths of our inner being, "Let us not wander from your commandments." Write this word upon our hearts. May it be in our minds tonight as we go to bed. May it be in our minds tomorrow. And may it inform us and help us as we seek to draw near to you and as we seek to do those things which please you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.